Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're diving into this series called Rest, and I am excited about this series. Pastor Paula almost kind of kicked us off last week as she was speaking on Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. But my question this morning, and some of you guys got hit with my question this morning, is my question this morning was, are you tired? And I've been trying really hard to not throw numbers and statistics at you that have a probability of being like inaccurate or don't represent our Hope City context very well or misrepresent. So I was like, well, I could throw out, there's lots of statistics out there that say how tired you guys are. But what would represent it better than just asking you? And so we did this morning. Sunday morning, 70% of you in this room this morning have reported that you're tired. So, and it's really easy to be like, well, that's pretty situational. Like, my baby didn't sleep last night, or, you know, I was up all night, I don't feel good, whatever. My guess would be that if I asked you next week, some of you that answered yes might answer no, but some of you that answered no would answer yes. And I'm willing to bet that we'd stay right about that 70%. Because the truth of the matter is that we, as a nation, low-grade exhaustion has become our normal. We function in a state of low-grade exhaustion, and we've made it to where it's a normal thing, it's an expected thing, maybe even a thing that you can brag about, right? If you are busy enough that you're exhausted, then you must be really important. So to the 70% of you, I would just like to say, you are so important. And also, this has been something that we have just accepted as a seasonal reality. Most of us wouldn't say like, oh, you know, 365 days a year, I'm just busy all the time. But what we do is we make it acceptable seasonally. Well, I'm just in a season right now. I'm just in a season that I'm really busy, that I'm grinding hard, that I'm exhausted, that I'm working 7 days a week, that I've got, you know, I'm clocking 85 hours a week. Let me just validate that there will be seasons in your life where you are exhausted, 100%. But my question to you is, does that season end? Or do you just jump into another one that's just as exhausting, just as stressful, and keep plugging along going, while it might be a new season, it's the same level of exhaustion. Many of us here today are so exhausted and so stressed that you're not even fully functioning. And I think that if you were to inwardly really answer that question, am I functioning at 100%, your answer would probably be no. And when you're so stressed, so tired, you can't function, you may have one or all of these side effects. You might be depressed. You might be anxious. You might be lacking sleep. You might have increased arguments or fights with the people in your life. I could go on with health factors and all kinds of things that you might be experiencing as a symptom of this exhaustion. You find your motivation getting lower, and your worry, that's been a big word today, your worry getting higher. And eventually, you hit that breaking point and you crash. It's usually at that point when you find yourself wanting to scream, make it stop. Anybody been there? Let me recap the verses that Pastor Paula introduced to us last week. And I know that she read this to you in Eugene Peterson's translation, but I'm going to read it to you again. Are you tired? This is out of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it this way. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and what? Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Guys, hear me when I say stress, worry, anxiety, exhaustion, they're all really real things. We have real problems. We have real things to worry about. And being a believer doesn't shield you from those real things. But we have been given everything we need to step away from stress, to step away from worry, to step away from anxiety, and experience real rest. We're going to spend the rest of our time talking today about a tool that God gave us clear back in the Old Testament with the very first followers of God that is effective at stopping the cycle of exhaustion and creating a margin of rest in our life. And that is Sabbath. We're going to start today in Deuteronomy when the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments. But this is the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments for the second time in Deuteronomy. And so it starts off like this in chapter 5, verse 6. It says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. That's important for later, but we're going to skip down to verse 12 now. So I'm in Deuteronomy 5, starting in 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen, your donkeys, your other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. I think there's one more. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. Here's the history here, just really quick. This is a call to remember. The Ten Commandments were first given to the generation before the ones that we're reading about here. But now, this generation is the generation that's going to get to enter the promised land. It's all brand new people, except for two. And this is a call to remember who God is and what he's bringing them out of. See, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they had to grind. 7 days a week, they worked and worked and worked. They didn't get to have Sabbaths when they were slaves. They didn't get rest when they were slaves. They were in a constant state of survival and oppression. But God delivered them from that, and he reinstated the Sabbath as a tool to help them recover from the grind and remember where everything that they had came from. Ruth Haley Barton, who is an expert on the subject of Sabbath, describes how the practice of Sabbath keeping was and is an act of resistance against a culture that brainwashes us into thinking that good things come only through unceasing determination, tireless human effort, and always being plugged in. Woo! We are surrounded by a culture that tells us over and over and over again that good things come if you work hard enough, if you grind hard enough, unceasing determination, tireless human effort, and always being plugged in. Many of us have tricked ourselves into thinking that this statement might be true about other people, but I have a high stress tolerance. God created me to be able to do the level of grind that I'm grinding at. I know that you're tired, but I can handle it. I don't get burnt out. I don't get tired. It's not too much for me. I don't need as much rest as the average person. The truth of the matter is that voice is robbing you. It's robbing you, one, of being obedient to God's command to Sabbath, and two, it's robbing you of the gift that Sabbath is. Wow. There's three ways that we can implement Sabbath. You might be like, well, what does that look like? It sounds like a whole lot of rules. It sounds like a whole lot of almost being a prisoner to my day off, right? It's not. Sabbath looks like this. There's three things. So if you're taking notes, write these down. A Sabbath day, first of all, is 24 hours. Not six, not four, not 30 minutes. 24 hours where you stop, rest, and delight. The first one is that stop. We know that cycle all too well, where we're jumping from season of exhaustion to season of exhaustion to season of exhaustion, where you're like, I know, but if I can just get past these 8 weeks, then I'll be able to rest. Guess what? There's something waiting on the other side of those 8 weeks. You need to stop. So on that day off, wherever it is, for me, it fluctuates between Friday and Saturday, because sometimes Saturday's a Hope City work day. But between Friday and Saturday, it fluctuates. And for those 24 hours, I stop all work. If you try to text me or call me, you are not going to get through to me. If you're expecting to get some kind of email from me on that day, you're not going to get it. I stop all work, paid and unpaid. Step two to a successful Sabbath day is to rest. You've ground. I know, whatever. You guys figure it out. You've done your work, and now it's time to rest. Now it's time to rest. Now it's time to take a break. Now it's time to unplug, even with your mind. Stop thinking about work. Pastor Sheree, how do I do that? You're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to take it to Jesus. You're going to have to ask him to help your mind calm down. And it's going to take practice. The very first time that you try this out, you're gonna feel like you're thinking about only work. Do it for 6 months and then report back to me. That's gonna be different. The final thing, you stop, you rest, and then the third part, essential part of your Sabbath is delight. What are the things that bring you joy? What are the thing, so often the Sabbath gets a rap for being all about rules. The opposite is true. This is a day where you can put aside the rules of everyday life and live a day that is truly set apart, that is different than all the other days. Delight doesn't require a giant trip to an expensive, fun place. Delight doesn't require a big dent in your bank account. Be with the people you love, doing the things you love, that you don't get to do on the other 6 days. That's delight. I can promise you that if you will commit to being consistent about taking a Sabbath every week for the next 6 months, it will change your life. And as proof of that, you might be like, well, it changed your life, Pastor Cherie. Well, as proof of that, I've invited some people to join me up on the stage this morning who are going to tell you exactly what implementing Sabbath has looked like in their life. So if I could have my panelists join me up here, give a welcome to our panelists. You might be thinking right off the bat, that's cheating. You can't invite Pastor Paula. Just wait. She got a story. My girl has a testimony. So this, if you don't know, this is Matt. Everyone say, hey, Matt. This is Ryan. That's Pastor Paula. And I am just going to ask them a few questions. The first thing that I'm going to ask, and I'm just going to let you pass the mic down the row. But I want you to start with, one, how long ago did you start Sabbathing? I know. She said, you didn't send me this question. I know, just think about it real quick. How long ago did you start Sabbathing? And before you started Sabbathing, what were your thoughts of it? Got it? How long ago and what were your thoughts?
So I've been Sabbathing probably just under a year. It was just about October or so of last year. To be honest with you, I didn't have time. There's no way I had time to Sabbath 24 hours. I didn't want to. I like being busy. And like Cherie said in the past, I took pride in being busy. At that point in my life, I had no interests.
For me, I've probably been Sabbathing for...
Has it been 2 years?
Probably 2 years, you know, yeah. And my thoughts on it at first, I didn't really know much about it, and I just really wanted to learn more about it, because it's something you read about so much in the Bible, and you know that it has such great benefits that come with applying it to your life and stuff. So that's where my thoughts.
Ryan, you're so well spoken. I'm proud of you. So awesome. Same with Ryan. About 2 years, I've been Sabbathing, and I had been hearing about it for well over probably a year before I started through Pastor Cherie and through her brother and sister-in-law who have also been practicing. And it intrigued me, but I was like, I don't know if it's possible. And so, life group plug, I went to Pastor Cherie's when she first started her rhythms life group. Her first rhythm was on Sabbath. That's when Ryan and we were in that same life group together. And so I went to that life group.
Perfect. And I'm going to have you keep that mic.
Okay.
Because I'm going to ask you to answer the second question and we'll work back this way.
Okay.
I just have to say this really quick. I'm not going to. I'll say it at the end. How has Sabbath impacted you?
I think for me, the way the Sabbath has impacted me is that it has actually increased my ability to do the things that I need to do the other 6 days.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Woo. For me, before I started Sabbathing, I would do just my normal daily stuff and be exhausted by the end of the week. It's not like what I was doing was hard. It was just that I was just so tired and not having any actual rest for so long that I just couldn't do it well anymore. So Sabbath has changed that for me in a few ways, physically, because I don't have to do more than the basic daily stuff when you're Sabbathing. Mentally, because you don't have to think about the next thing on your checklist because there's nothing there because you've taken time to clear your schedule. And probably spiritually, because I can actually feel and hear Jesus so much better because my body and mind are in a state of calmness now.
You take notes, dog! Come on!
I don't even need to say anything anymore.
You can just, you can give my monthly spot of preaching over to Ryan. Just
Ditto.
Good, good. No, that's fine.
It was so well said. So, kind of the same thing. I realized that I can do the same amount of things in 6 days that I can do in 7 days. And I have more energy to do so. Also, it forces you to do the things you enjoy. It forces you to, and not think about it. Like, I love to fish. Guess what I did on my Sabbath a lot? I fished. And before that, I didn't have time, or I said I didn't have time.
Yeah, that's good. What was the hardest part about jumping in?
Putting my phone down.
Yeah.
That was the hardest part, putting my phone down, scrolling. I'm bored on the couch taking my Sabbath, and I would just start scrolling. That was stupid.
Did you feel rested after scrolling?
No.
Just checking.
Actually, I got angry reading Facebook, reading all the stuff on Facebook that you don't agree with. But after I put my phone down, and it was peaceful. Yeah. It was just peaceful.
For me, it was actually stopping and being intentional with the time that I'd taken. I would constantly catch myself trying to do tasks and work, even though I had absolutely nothing to do. It's like I was just on autopilot, and that was so natural and comfortable for me that that's what I would resort to because I was doing absolutely nothing with myself. Instead of giving that time to Jesus, I tried to fill it with my normal stuff, and that's not what Sabbath is about. Woo!
How many of you, are rule followers, right? So for me, the hardest part about Sabbath was, I just need to know what the rules are. I need, what rules do I have to follow for this? And that's actually the thing that kept me from doing it for so long. Because I was like, I can't follow all these rules.
Oh, next question. Sorry. How has your relationship with Jesus been impacted by implementing a Sabbath weekly?
Well, I get more time with him, honestly. I get more time with him, and I hear him more clearly because I have intentionally turned off that constant buzz of what should I be doing? What do I need to be doing? What is my phone saying? I know there's some of you out there that you're like, I can't go 24 hours without my phone. What if somebody needs me? And I mean, on my Sabbath, my phone isn't even in the same room with me. You could ask anybody. My phone's usually upstairs. I don't answer text. I don't go on social media. I don't do any of that. And so by turning off that constant buzz of society, it has given me the time just to hear Jesus's voice. And really, because, I'm a pastor as well. A lot of times, it's very easy for me to hear God's voice for the direction of Hope City and the direction for other people, but I miss his voice so many times for me personally. And Sabbath has really helped me to tune back into, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want to say about me?
For me, my relationship has been changed because I not only learned how to actually rest, but to rest in and through Jesus. Yeah. And one of my favorite verses is in Matthew, come to me all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I was so tired of constantly carrying mental and physical burdens with me everywhere I went. So when I would go into Sabbath, I could finally take that heavy load off and pick up a much lighter one that Jesus had for me. So then going out of Sabbath, that load felt a little lighter each time. and I was able to do my daily life that much better.
Ditto. So you guys have all tried to talk to Jesus, and especially when you first start, you really have to sit down in a quiet place, no distractions anywhere, and listen intently for his voice. That kind of goes away. Like, you hear him right away.
Yeah.
You hear him automatically because you know what you're listening to. It forces you to recognize what he sounds like other than enemy.
Last question. Okay, he needs to say that again.
Make sure people hear it.
Just the, it forces you to hear his voice and recognize his voice. That way you don't have, there is no confusion whether you're listening to Jesus or you're listening to the devil.
Yep. All right, last question. What would you say to the person who doesn't have time to Sabbath?
You know, you sent me these, and this is the one I struggle with, because I can be very crude. But do it. There is no excuse. There is zero excuse to not to Sabbath. Anything that you have in your head is from the enemy. Anything that you have an excuse-wise is from the enemy. There is no reason why you can't Sabbath. And you will get more done throughout the week if you do so.
Yeah. Good. It is.
Tell them, Rye.
First of all, everybody has time. It just depends on how you decide to use it. And I know personally, if I can watch a whole series on Netflix, I can definitely binge me some Jesus. And I'm a worker, and I like to get things done as quickly and efficiently as possible. So if you have a very similar personality type as me, just know this one thing. Jesus had the most important job of all, and he still took time to Sabbath. And he still walked away from everything he was doing.
Sure did. Dang, girl. That's right. Man, so good. What I would say on top of what Matt and Ryan have said are two things. First of all, how many of you would never, ever think, like, there's, you don't want to sin, you don't want to disobey God, but, like, the thought of breaking one of the Ten Commandments, you're like, I would never do that, right? Right? Mm. What commandment is that? Thank you. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. And one of the things that I remember so clearly is when we started this life group, John Mark Comer, who is the head of Practicing the Way, said that not honoring the Sabbath day is the one commandment that so many followers of Christ break, and they break with pride. And I was like, I mean, it hit me right in the chest. Like, I do that. I do that. I make a list of all the great things I got accomplished on the day that I should be stopping, resting, and delighting in. And so the last thing I would say is this. If you're sitting here and, like, your heart is like, I need to do this, I have great news for you. Life groups are starting, and Pastor Cherie is doing Sabbath again this quarter. While you're clapping, will you give it up for our panelists? So my question for you as we close is, what would this look like for you? I can promise you, no matter where you are in this room, it will be the most disciplined thing you've ever done. Yep. Yep. But I can also promise you, from experience, is that it will also be one of the most impactful things you've ever done. And I just have to plug really quick, and then I'm going to have you stand, that we talk about camp stories, okay?
Ryan has been walking through a journey of hearing God's call on her life and being obedient to that call. And she spent the majority of camp crying out to God, saying, God, I need you to help me in the area of public speaking. She said, God, I know the call that you're placing on my life, but I can't get up there. I can't fulfill the call that you've placed on my life because I've got this barrier of not being able to talk in front of people. And listen, I didn't even know that. And we get back from camp, and I said, Ryan, I know you're going to hate me for this, but will you do this? And she said, yes, I will. So my message to you is, one, God hears your prayer. And two, do it scared. Do it scared. Stand with me.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.